Could you go to 2.5 minutes 4-on-4 and then first stoppage?
Just ask him what he thinks of Kenny's idea.
Well, he's going to say yes, but he likes it.
No. Mike's not like that.
And then 2.5 minutes.
His mind.
And then 2.5 minutes 3-on-3. Could you break it down in that 5-minute overtime, Mike?
Why are we even doing this? Why don't we play 5-on-5? I don't understand any of this stuff. We changed our game. We changed the rules. We changed things. We made the neutral zone smaller to clog it up. We took the red line out. We did all these things. I'm not sure it improved the game one bit. But why do we do this?
Well, we just talked
great
about
a question.
Babber, how do you feel about the way the slotting for playoffs is, you know, 90% of it's going to be based on shootouts? It's bizarre.
Well, not 90%.
It's not.
Well, check it out.
The good teams are still getting in without any question. The best teams are getting in no matter what we do.
What place are you in today?
Is there going to be a team that has a good shootout success and gets in? Absolutely. Is it part of the game? It is, if that's what they decide it is. The only thing I would say to you is when we make changes, let's make sure the changes are for the better. Let's just not make changes. So we went to this. The fans seem to like it. Now we don't like it. Why don't we like it? What's the matter with just continuing to play the game the way it's supposed to be played? It's interesting to me in baseball. They keep playing the game. It takes forever. They keep playing the game. How come?
So just a minute, I'm confused. Are you saying shootouts should be in or should never have been put in the first place?
Yes, the second part of what you said.
They should.
Why don't we just keep playing the game?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Well, could you have?
I don't get it.
Could you have extended overtime in the regular season?
You know what? I just like playing.
Yeah.
I think it's a game. That's the way it's supposed to be set up to go. I don't know the answer to any of this stuff, to be honest with you. I just know the Red Wings need a win. We lost in a shootout last night.
Yeah.
To me, I don't like losing in shootouts. I don't mind winning in them, to be honest with you. I don't like losing them. And every time we lose in one, I think, well, why do we have shootouts? In saying that, what they're trying to do is get more people involved. It's still not using your whole bench. It's still not using your team. It's using your 6 best players, your 8 best players, whatever it is. You know, I don't know the right answer for all this, but let's just make sure when we make changes, they're for the better.
The problem with losing in a shootout at home is that your fans leave totally pissed off, and it's like you lost the game. They don't take it as a shootout loss.
Or a point.
No, no question about it, but I guess what I would say to you is this, is that the people in the game, the players in the dressing room, we left the game last night. We're disappointed, no question about it, that we didn't get 2 points. I thought our team played real good. I got up today. The sun got up. Get on with my day. So whatever they decide is no issue. Let's decide. But once again, I think in all these decisions we make for the game, just make sure we've thought this out. Let's not go do something, and then 3 weeks later, a year later, we're saying, gee, that's not as good as it was.
Is there something that's happened that you can point to with your own personal opinion that goes down that path?
The neutral zone, making the neutral zone smaller and the end zone bigger, all that's happening now is there's 5 people standing right in front of the net. In the old days, you could cover your D by moving up to them, so we got everyone in front of the net. The neutral zone being smaller is like a traffic jam between your house and the rink. You try to pick the time to go to the rink when there's not traffic because it's easier to get through. Speed is by getting through the neutral zone. I think the red line being in led to attack. I think the red line being out leads to tip and forecheck. One was a skilled play. One's a non-skilled play. To me, I think some of these decisions have been counterproductive.
Mike Babcock is with us, head coach of the Detroit Red Wings, also doubling up as the man that will try to repeat as a head coach and gold medal winner at the Olympics. It's Sochi in 2014. It's Hockey Central and on the Sportsnet Radio Network, simulcast on Sportsnet.
So Mike, obviously you got your Detroit hat on, but there's another hat that's tucked away somewhere. And when you hear word of Stamkos going down like he did, is it hard for your heart not to just to sink in the bottom of your stomach?
Yeah, but it wasn't, to be honest with you, it wasn't for me in Canada Olympics. It was for the kid. We just played him the night before. I actually was watching the game. He came in here. I thought Tampa played real well, and I thought he was an absolute star, and he was playing head-to-head with Pavel Datsyuk. It's hard to be a star playing head-to-head with Pavel. So he's come from a kid who was a scorer to a kid that's playing 200 feet. I mean, obviously, they say that what he's gone through takes 3 months to recover. Steven Stamkos is no regular person. It's not going to take him 3 months to recover. In his mind and his heart right now, he thinks he's going to play in the Olympic Games. Let's just not panic here. Let's just watch the thing play out.
You left Calgary saying to the players that, you and Yzerman, ongoing evaluation through the fall. Have you noticed a lot of guys are in contention, at a contention? Has it been different than the typical year for you from an evaluation perspective?
No, I think, you know, what's interesting is you watch your own team and you're trying to get better. Every night you prepare for a game, like you're preparing for the best players on the other team anyway, so it kind of sets you up to do this anyway. When you watch all these guys go through the process and you watch how hard they compete, you know, they want to be on an Olympic team. Why wouldn't they? I don't think the pool's as big as everyone else says it is. I think the special players, like, you're not replacing Steven Stamkos. There's no other one. So I think some guys are just better than other guys. And whether you're off to a tough start or not, it's 20 games. There's going to be another chunk of games played here. Like, the best players are going to find a way to be on that team. You know, I just think we just keep watching, and the guys that are maybe here on the team right here today, that's going to change. So let's just keep watching and see what happens.
Hey, Mike, the one exception, I think, regardless of who you pick, might be the goaltending situation. We know Brodeur's passed the torch on. We know that Luongo's got more experience than whoever else you'll bring. But that may be the one position, regardless of what you do, will always be questioned until after we see what happens in the tournament.
No, I agree with that totally. In saying that, though, you know, I look at it, Luongo, I think, is off to a good start. Smith was first starter against us twice when they played the Red Wings. I haven't seen Price. I just seen him on TV. He looks like he's off to a good start. I don't think goaltending's a concern whatsoever, to tell you the truth. I just think that we're fortunate in Canada. We got a good group of players. It makes the process difficult. I asked my coaches, we're having a call today, I asked my coaches to send in their team. Fire it on a napkin, send in their team. We'll discuss each team today, and we'll see how many players are in the mix from the coaching staff. The management team's meeting today. I'll talk to Stevie, I'm sure, tomorrow. But it's early in the process. As much as the media and everyone wants to name the team right now, I don't know why we would. Why wouldn't we just play it out and watch what happens here?
Mike, a guy that sort of is a dark horse, probably shouldn't be, and you didn't mention his name in the goaltending hunt, but Crawford just seems to win.
Well, and, you know, why wouldn't he be in as well? And
right.
I guess the way I look at it, he wins every single night. They got a great team, and he finds a way to get it done, and every time we play him, he plays great. So he's another guy. And to me, when I look at the list of goaltenders, I don't think we're going to be short in that area at all. And that kind of was the point I was trying to make. We haven't played Crawford as much this year just because of the way the setup is. In reality, for me, there's a lot of good players that we have to choose from. We'll have to make the decision.
Mike Babcock chatting with Hockey Central and the Sportsnet Radio Network, simulcast on Sportsnet with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. Do you find that there's a lot of players on the opposition teams finding time to chat with the Team Canada head coach, those guys with Canadian passports?
No, they don't chat per se, but, you know, what's interesting is that I had a buddy I used to coach with. He came in last night, and I guess he used to coach Rose Hill, so he was in Philly the other night. And Drew found a way through this friend of mine to get a message to me that he was going to be fine and playing well. I love that stuff. Why wouldn't you? If you're a competitor, you want to play well and you want to be on that team. You know, the way I look at it is when you get an opportunity to play in front of Steve Yzerman and you know he's there, you're going to play hard. If Mike Babcock's standing on the bench and he's playing against you, I'd assume you'd be playing hard because you want to be on that team. That's natural. These guys are competitive. They're good players.
Just a quick word and on a couple of former Olympians, Chelios, Shanahan, guys that you have a pretty good history with.
Is Chelios as big of a pain in the butt he claims he is Hall of Fame weekend?
Well, I don't think so. This is what I know. When good players compete hard every single night they play, you don't have to worry about them too much. For me, what Chelios is a guy who was always a busy guy, competed real hard. I never coached Shanny or Chelios in their prime, neither one. And saying that, Shanny, I think, got 40 and 40 for me. The only year I coached Shanny, he was great, great power play guy, had a real good insight on the game. Chelios, the same thing, ultra competitive, one of the best penalty kill minds I'd ever been around. I wasn't with him when he was an offensive player. And then Niedermeyer, obviously, I had an 04 at the Olympics and had, or at the World Championships in 04 and 2010 at the Olympics. And I had him more in the prime of his career. They're all great people, great, great competitors, elite, elite players. And, you know, the thing that I thought when I was in Toronto the other night watching them is how proud they were to have their families and to share it with. And that club, that Hockey Hall of Fame club, is a special, special thing. When you go there and you see all the people and all the inductees that are back there to enjoy the evening, it is a special, special event, and those guys should be proud of themselves.
Nick Kyprios and I will be around for a while, but as we say goodbye, any parting words for Doug McLean? Because we're trying to get him the Buffalo Sabres vacant general manager's job.
I'm quite content here.
It's because
if I left, this program would go for a real dump.
Mike,
would you agree with that, Mike?
For a second, all I know is this, is that, you know, they had a great, great run there in Buffalo and did a heck of a job. And Darcy and Lindy Ruff, great, great guys.
Who did
a lot for the game. Smart, smart, smart people. And they're going to enjoy being in hockey for a long time.
It's between him and Pierre Maguire.
Good luck then.
if I happen to leave here, Pierre's taking my spot here.
Oh, class, yeah.
That you're staying.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Bever.
Move.
See ya. That shut you up, didn't it?